Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
Welcome to the Prime Culture Podcast, everybody.
I like it. We're Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's just the two of us today.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Do you guys, you know that
song? Still don't know that. Still
Dang,
know that song.
Brother. It's Bill Withers, Just the Two of Us. On your way home, put it on your Pandora music.
Say less. I am so excited to be talking with you today, and I get to be your host.
No, come on, somebody.
I'm just trying hard right now.
You know what, though? You have a really good demeanor to be a host.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, bro. No, for real, because you're really good at reining it in. I'm the worst host.
You are, you go. You go and we follow.
Oh my gosh, man. You doing good?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. So we just had Easter services and talk to us about the song that dropped.
Oh, wow. Huh? Yeah. So some of y'all know this, but we recorded 10 songs at Abundant Conference.
Let's go.
And these are songs that we've been singing in church. And we released the first one, Our Prayer. Led by Lauren.
Let's go.
Lauren Bruce.
The evangelist.
Lewin.
Yeah,
Guyton Lewin Bruce.
I love it.
We love it. And she absolutely crushed it. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out. It's on every streaming platform.
Where can we find it? At Abundant Worship?
At abundant.worship
okay.
On Instagram. And yeah, go stream it.
We'll put it in show notes if you're watching on YouTube. But yeah. If you're not following at abundant.worship, why aren't you born again? Is what I want to know. You know,
the crazy story about this is that we were at writing camp with that song, and we were like, I used to listen to people that would say this song just came spontaneously, and I used to be like, okay, that's never happened with me.
Cap.
But we were at writing camp. It was the second day we were at writing camp, and we were just the gang was there. We were worshiping, and somebody led a devo, and then we took communion, I believe, and then we just started singing. And then towards the end, the melody of the chorus just came.
Your will That's be amazing. Done on earth.
And then after we finished worship, we took that melody and then we took it into a session and then our prayer came out.
Spontaneously.
Out of all that.
That's beautiful, yeah. Man.
It's a fun story for our prayer.
Yeah. Hey, super proud of you guys, man. It was, it's just beautiful to hear the sound and to hear the heart of our church just emerging that way, man. I think it's super, super cool. But we're celebrating resurrection and, on that note, I think there's a lot of things we can talk about, man. But I love Easter Sunday because Easter Sunday talks about how the Lord overcame regardless of what it looked like. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, bro. And I think that like, okay, so I'll start here. John 18:37 is Jesus is standing on trial before Pontius Pilate. Man, I went mad serious real quick, right? Like, he was just like, okay, like,
let's talk about But this is how Cruz and I actually talk. Like, that's crazy. We're about to talk like
oh,
how
for
we...
for real, for
we're
real.
We're about to let everybody talk like how we... I don't think we've ever done a pod together.
Hey, y'all pray for Pastor Diana. She's not on the pod. We are in contract negotiations.
Stop, repent.
It hit salary cap, and I just don't know. There's a lot of dead money, and so we're just waiting for...
we're restructuring her contract.
Yo, so we're just waiting for her to, you know? So y'all just pray for her, man. Just pray for
her. We miss you, First Lady.
We do miss you, baby. Where you at? I love you.
But yeah, so... This is how we talk.
Just out of the blue, like, hey, bro,
listen to this deep thought that I just had yesterday.
No, so like, I think, okay, so it started off this way. It started off like, do you ever think about what people think about you?
All the time. I'm okay. An Enneagram 3. Just kidding.
But explain that.
Well, I'm an achiever, or like my personality type is like an achiever. Yeah. So like, one of my biggest struggles, or like when I'm not healthy, is like I always care about what you think.
For sure.
Like I'm the type of worship leader that'd be like, I hope, Pastor, what did you think?
Was that good? Were you happy with that?
Did you notice that one note that I sang? That would be me unhealthy, you know?
Are you into the Enneagram? Oh, we gotta do an episode on the Enneagram and how it's not demonic. It's
And just so y'all know, we don't take it as like law, it's just It's just personality just cool. test. That's
it's
it.
It's a personality type indicator. Yeah. Are you, Demetrius, you familiar with Enneagram? What are you? You're a three. Wow. Andrew's a seven, right? Oh, dang, chill, bro. This fool said, Wonton Tigers, bro.
What is it called? What is it called when Pokemon's evolve?
Bro, yeah. Charizard over there, bro. This dude just said, I'm a three-wing two. What the? How did you become a three-wing two?
He's a new creation in Christ, brother. No, I think I'm a three-wing four, yeah.
I'm an eight-wing eight.
I'm a challenger, and I'll challenge you a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm an eight all day. If you're interested in the Enneagram, Andrew, can we put that in the show notes also? It's, yeah, man, it's super dope. Just a little indicator, right? So I'm the same way, though. I think a lot about, I'm curious, like, maybe this is arrogance and narcissism. Maybe I need prayer for me. Like, I want to know, I want to experience me.
I can tell you all about it.
I'm curious and I'm grateful that like we can't read people's minds and thoughts, yeah. right?
Because I think it'd be devastating.
I think what goes on in people's heads would be devastating.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? And I really do think that there's a reason why the Lord protects us by what's in people's heads. Right now, what comes out of people's mouths based on what's on their heads is either can just absolutely hurl you forward or it can absolutely, if you aren't anchored well and if you aren't right side up, it can absolutely devastate you, right? So I was pondering that right there, like, man, maybe I should just ask my kids to wear like a body camera. You know what I mean? And like, so I could just watch the footage and see what my face looks like.
Bro, sometimes I've heard myself in videos talking to my kids repent. Me too. I'm like,
me too.
Why am I so hard?
Me too, like, bro. Me too.
Like, man, I tell Lisa, I'm like, you need to talk to me when I'm talking to them like that.
Do you hear yourself? I don't want to talk to you. Because then you'll talk to me like that.
No, I just tend to be a little bit just like strict. I'm strict with my boys. And anyway, sometimes I'm like, man, it would be helpful.
Do I really sound like that? No, yeah, for real, bro. Like, I think it would change the game for us if like there was like CCTV in our houses and we could go back and watch a film, you know? You know, but I was just thinking about that, man. And I actually just thought, Lord, thank you, first of all, that I'm not privy to what's in everyone's head. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so grateful that I'm not in people's heads. And then I just thought, Jesus, how did you deal with what was in people's heads? Right? Because a lot of people, what was in people's heads came out of their mouths towards Jesus. They had a lot to say about Jesus, right? And so then that took me, I thought about John 18:37, right? So Jesus is in his passion week, right? So we're just coming out of the resurrection. Maybe that's why, you know. this is leading into Good Friday. Okay, this is probably Thursday before Good Friday. And he's being examined by Pontius Pilate, which, pause, can I just give you some dope little revelation? It's just kind of cool little nuance. It's all happening during Passover week, right? So at the same time, because remember what Pontius Pilate says, he's examining him, assessing him, and he says, I find no fault in him. I find no blame in him. I find no fault. While throughout Jerusalem and Judea, other Jewish leaders of the homes were preparing for Passover, they were examining the lamb that was going to be slain for Passover.
Making sure there was no blemish.
And they were making sure that there was no blemish in the lamb that they were going to slay for Passover. Our Passover lamb
was examined.
Was being examined, and he was found spotless and blameless. Beautiful. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yeah, man. So praise the Lord for that. But so Jesus goes in front of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate asks a question that's kind of petty. He goes, so you're saying you're a king?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, like, man, like, you look kind of raggedy for a king. You look kind of broke, busted, and disgusted. Yeah. You know, that's Bishop T.D. Jakes' influence on my life, right? But you look kind of broke and busted, and, you know, bro, like, you don't look like a king, right? So what's he doing? Intrusive thoughts, I suppose, right? Saying what he observes based on his own opinions, his own options, preferences, all of that. And I suppose that by today's and contemporary standards, Jesus would have looked like a failure there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're privy to 3 days later.
We know everything.
We're privy to early on one Sunday morning, right? Yeah. Like, but man, like he very much didn't look like like victory, and he very much didn't look like
or strong,
right?
Or yeah, right. Powerful.
And in that moment where all signs pointed to, man, maybe they're right about me, Jesus responds with this, and he says, "You say, you say, right? What's in your head is coming out your mouth.
Yeah,
you say I'm a king.
Yeah, it is what you say. Yeah,
right. You say I'm a king." He goes, "But for this purpose and for this cause, I've been born.
Yeah.
And for this purpose and this cause, I have come into the world that I may bear witness of the truth." And man, I just thought, how beautiful that in a moment where what is in a lot of people's heads, opinions, criticism, judgment, they could have been technically right.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did not allow what was in their heads to impact the mission and the purpose and the cause that was on his life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I wonder how many young people are listening to us that they have people that really mean well.
Mm.
You know, because this dude is like, I mean, of course he's examining him, you know, and he sees no fault in him. He's only limited to what he sees.
Right.
And I think sometimes, like, I experienced in my own life, like, some of the choices that I made, like, being a pastor, Cruz, is, like, I would say, for me, when I told my family or when I told friends, like, I remember so many people, when I decided to follow the Lord and become a pastor, some people, my dad owns a business. He's a businessman. He's always been a businessman. And anyway, somebody who did business with him came up to me the moment I became a pastor and said, you need a, I don't know what you're thinking, but you need to go and quit and keep serving in church, but go back to work with your dad. And they could only understand based on what they saw. And sometimes they mean well. Sometimes people mean well and they're trying to help you out.
But what's
in their head is could get into my heart. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy to hear those things and be like, I made the right choice, especially being married already. I was already married. I'm like, what do you mean you're telling me to go back with my dad?
But that's the hard thing, right? In the moment, it's easy one thing, like when you're like reading it in the Bible and like, oh man, I'm not going to let what's in their head, you know, affect what's in my heart. But in the moment, what's in their head and it actually agrees with what's in your head.
Yeah.
Right? And this is that moment, if I can just like call back to March Culture Night, right? Where it's like, look, this is why you gotta know better. This is why you gotta go back. And if you were in Culture Night, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch Culture Night on YouTube. It's gonna be right here. I'm just playing. I don't know.
It's
gonna be right here. I'm just playing. I'm trying to be Casey Neistat, right? Like, y'all know who that is? That's like the original YouTuber, right?
The original, the OG.
Right. But like, go back and watch the Culture Night message. And at the end of the message, I told our Culture Night crowd, listen, record a video right now. Put it in your favorites album. And the next time someone's trying to talk you off the wall, someone trying to talk you out your purpose, someone's trying to talk you into insecurity or isolation, you play this video and you call yourself by your full legal name.
By the way, I did not know that was your middle name.
You didn't know Renee was my middle name?
I did not know. I was
for real?
Like,
I confessed it to the whole world. It's so
unexpected. Cruz Renee Ramirez.
It's so unexpected,
I was like,
right?
That's fire.
You think so?
Yes, Pastor. It is René.
René.
But just thinking back to that moment, that moment was full of faith.
Amen.
And the whole room was like lit up because it was like the Holy Spirit was in there. But there's a beautiful thing about understanding what's really in you.
Right.
And also being prepared to I guess, face the fact that not everyone understands. And some people also don't mean well also, so they don't like it.
Right.
But
no, here's what I think. Right. And I love what you're saying, right? Like, cause some people mean well, like that person that told you, listen, bro, there's no future in being a pastor.
He was looking out for me.
He meant well.
Yeah.
But you know what?
He didn't know what I know.
You know better.
I knew better.
You know better. And you knew better. Right. Yeah. This is awesome because like old school saints back in the day, saints, right. Would say, man, I'm not sure, but I know that I know. Right. Man, I'm not sure, but I know that I know, right? And like back in the day, like some of the pastors that I grew up listening to, like, man, you got to know when you're knower. You know what I'm saying? Like there's this thing on the inside of you, which is what it is. It's the inward witness of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
right? That's what it is. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you is coming next to your place of apprehension or insecurity or fear. I love the story of the father in the book of Luke. I think it's Luke 10, if I'm not, like, don't quote me on it, but he brings his son to be delivered, and they can't, you know, the disciples aren't living right, so they don't deliver him. Jesus comes down off the mountain from prayer, rebukes the disciples, like, man, you
y'all don't know how to do this.
You suckers, you should have faith already. What's the matter with you, right? Oh, dude, this is a good story. Let me just put it in, like, parenthetically insert it, right? Because, like, there's so much boldness in the story. Jesus comes down the mountain, like, what's going on? The father goes, man, are these your boys? Hey, yo, your dudes are whack, bro. I brought them my son to be delivered. I heard they could free people. I heard they could pray for people and cast out demons. These fools don't do jack, bro. What's up? And you can see Jesus, like, talking to the dad, right? Like, you're like this. Man, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. So he rebukes the disciples, and he comes to the father, and he says, hey, do you believe?
Yeah.
And there's this beautiful confession of the father, right? You remember, he says,
help me.
I believe, but help me with my unbelief, right? And I think there's this beautiful moment that the Lord makes sure, and the Holy Spirit, who inspires the scriptures, makes sure that beautiful dichotomy of natural and supernatural is presented in the gospels and the story of our faith, right? Because a lot of times, like, man, faith and fear, fear can exist where faith is. Yeah. What about this story?
Yeah.
Type thing, right? And so I think there's this beautiful moment, right, where I know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It reminds me of the story. I was talking with a young adult, and I was just trying to find a story, but I love the story of Noah, because multiple people, I don't know exactly how many years it took him to build the ark, but I mean, sometimes building the life that God called you to live, doing the things he's called you to do, it feels like building an ark without rain. And like, if you look at the story of Noah, there were people, at that point, people, some of them meant well, like, what are you doing? You're crazy, bro. Stop. You're embarrassing yourself. And then the people that didn't mean well and just completely discrediting him. But I think,
can we say, don't lose your thought. Like, right now, make sure you don't lose your thought. All right. Okay. But can we just say it this way? Cause, like, I mean, you and I both have mentioned this to each other, right? But, like, so there's people who mean well, but you know better. And there's people who are just mean.
Yeah.
But you know better. Right. Yeah. And so, like, both of those people existed with Noah, the ones who meant well, but no one knew better. Mm-hmm. And the ones who were just, I mean, they did him dirty.
They're nasty.
They were nasty to Noah, right? But he knew better.
Yeah. That's and beautiful. I'm sure in your life you have had those encounters at the same time.
Oh, 100%.
I have people who told me that it would never happen in El Paso. What God's doing here never happened. I had people that told me that, I guess, being in ministry, I would have a limited life, a very substantial decrease and whatever, right? But I just knew in my knower.
Yep.
And it was something that couldn't shake. And I just want to, I don't know, I feel compelled in my spirit to just say, you have to trust that knowing.
Right.
If you're a young adult.
Right.
Listening to this voice, you are called to something different. It might not look like what your family's ever done. It might not look like what you're equipped for. You might not feel equipped for it, but there's still a call on your life. And it takes the belief, and it takes the surrender of the unbelief at the same time. But that's, to me, that's just simply called faith.
100%.
It's like, I don't see it, but I know it.
Right.
And I'm just going to take this step to make the choice. So I wonder, I don't know if I'm just going to ask you a question. Can you recall a time where you, I guess you had a pivotal moment in your life where you had to go with what you know and not go with what you hear?
100%. It was easily one of the most painful, purposeful transitions of mine and Diana's life. So Diana and I both grew up in the same denomination, different churches. We're both pastors' kids. Her parents served as associate pastors at a church. My parents planted several churches and led churches. And when we got engaged and married, I moved to her church. Now, in the process of growing up, the Lord works on us. She goes, it's our first year of marriage. She moves to Dallas to do her affiliations for graduate school. I stay in El Paso, and the Lord does something in us independent of each other. but at the same time.
But at the same time.
And we, you know, when we come back together, it's like, hey, we got to talk. We got to talk about where we're at. And the Lord revealed some things to me theologically and doctrinally. And then the Lord just challenged her and she came back. She's like, hey, I'm not going to grow here. Right. Like she spent like 7 months at Bishop Jakes's church. And so she was just like, I got to go to, you know, and then I was just, I had a lot of alone time. And so I just started just, you know, I've always loved study. So anyway, so there were some things that like, I remember listening to a man of God that he's now in heaven, but he taught this message on baptism and how baptism is not a heaven or hell issue. Right? That people go to heaven without being baptized. No. And it wrecked my theology, just wrecked it. So I'm like, hey, I listened to this. Like literally when I went to pick her up, I had the CD in my car and I was like, hi, I love you. I've missed you. You need to listen to this, you know? and it was just, we were just in this place, right? Anyway, long story short, we make the decision that it was unbelievably just difficult. It was super hard for us. I'll say this. We essentially deconstructed our faith before it was cool and before people were calling it
trending.
Right. Yeah. Before people called it deconstruction. And can I also say this? We deconstructed and rebuilt it so we can call it deconstruction because there was reconstruction.
Come on.
Deconstruction without reconstruction is just destruction. That's all it is.
Talk about it.
Right?
Yes.
So anyway, we deconstructed and we weren't necessarily sure where we were going to go. And so for about 6 or 7 months, we just, we were nomads, right? We didn't leave our church necessarily, but we were just nomads. And then the Lord brought us to a beautiful church. We experienced the Spirit of God. We experienced God, like just, spent some time, godly, great doctrine. And so we knew that was the place for us. And so we came back to leadership of the church that we were in. And we said, we met, which, well, we did it at a Village Inn. We probably shouldn't have done it at a Village Inn. It was so awkward, man.
That's crazy.
But,
you ever been back?
No,
just kidding.
Actually we have, it's a banana story. Anyway, no one taught us how to leave a church, which that might be a good episode, how to leave a church the right way, right?
That would be a good,
because there is a godly way, right? Anyway, but we studied, we prayed, and we just thought, okay, now mind you, this is like before ChatGPT and Google. So we're just kind of like being led of the Holy Spirit, right? So we thought we were doing something like, okay, well, you know, this is going to be hard, but okay, let's do it godly. So we went in, we did our best to honor. We sowed a seed to the church. This was all like, we're just talking to the pastor at the time. We're like, hey, you know, like on our way out, we want to honor the church. And then we sowed a seed to the pastor. We want to honor you on the way out. And for us, it was a significant seed at the time. And we were just like, and he just said, well, thank you for this. But here's what I have to say to you. If you do this, you will utterly fail. You will lose your ministry. You will end up divorced and God will never use your life. So
talk about getting in your head.
The voice that essentially raised Diana is saying this. And then a voice that I trusted to call me into full-time ministry, not full-time, to call me into the ministry period, who was not my father. My father didn't have the opportunity. My father recognized it and affirmed it, but it was a different man of God that called me into the ministry. Now, look, the Lord has redeemed and restored and healed. Yeah. What I recognize now, it was his way of saying, this hurts me so bad. And I don't want to lose you guys. But he didn't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was devastating for us because we're like, but we thought we heard God. Right. Yeah. And so through a course of prayer and time, and now mind you, we're leaving the only place we've ever had community, counsel. So we have no one to cling to. Right. we're just clinging to each other and to the Holy Spirit. And so we had probably several weeks of just saying, are we making a mistake? And we came back to this, but I remember Diana saying, but Cruz, like, I have so much peace. I can't do that anymore. And I don't believe we're doing anything wrong. And so we pursued the purpose. And long story short, you know, now this is probably, my goodness, 20 years later since that moment. I mean, we've seen how our lives have played out. Praise the Lord. Right. Yeah. But it was a moment that we could have allowed what was in someone else's head stop what the Lord had purposed in our hearts, and we would have never accomplished what our hands are on today.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is the actual journey of that thought process. It never just stays in your head.
Right.
It goes to your heart and then it affects your hands. Man, I didn't know that.
Yeah, bro.
That's wild.
It's a story that we don't share that loud anymore. We've never shared that out loud until now. You know, Diana's pastor that was her childhood and family pastor, has gone to heaven. The Lord has restored, his children to us. And I mean, it was tough, man. Like we love the family now. Like, you know, his sons were dear. Now they're still dear. One of his sons was my best man in the wedding, our wedding. You know, so it was really, 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 really difficult, man. But you know, the Lord has restored, and now I'm beginning to understand. But I think this is why I go so hard towards, like, hey, if God has put something in your heart and he's purposed it in your heart, a couple of things, number one, you've got to be sure of that thing.
Yeah.
You've got to know that you know.
Yeah. Right? That was my next question. Like, how do we know that's from God?
No, this is beautiful.
Because I believe there's young adults listening to this and like, Pastor Cruz, I feel it, but how do I make sure that's from God and not go ruin my life? Because that's exactly how it feels like. With people that don't mean well, those people will use that insecurity you have or that lack of, I guess, understanding still to something that feels like you can't see it yet. And they'll use it and it'll get in your head and it'll prove the intrusive thoughts that you have and it'll have you back out. And then the people that do mean well,
yeah,
they're really genuinely trying to help you so you can sense the love and all that. So it could be a real tricky place to be in where you're like, I know I'm in a pivotal place in my life, which I believe so many 20-year-old, 30-year-olds are listening to us right now. They're in pivotal, they're deciding who they're going to marry,
right,
whether they're going to go to school and pursue that PhD or they're not, whether they're going to move on from careers, whatever. And the Lord cares about all that.
Absolutely.
And I think we would help them a lot if we say, okay, this is how you practically know if this is a God and you're sure. You just said something like, just please make sure. Because I've had conversations with young adults where I'm like, I've been your pastor. Where I'm like, hey, are you sure the Lord's in this?
Are you sure? Are you sure? You know, look, first of all, I think we knew the conviction. We knew the compelling. And the moment we got that response, we didn't know where we were going to go, but we knew they couldn't be there anymore. But how did we measure? Looking back, obviously it's much clearer now 20 years later, right? But looking back, how would I teach you to measure? It's hard to measure in the moment when someone is contradicting what the Lord has convicted you of. It's hard. So you've got to, one of my favorite things that I've learned from Nikki Gumbel, who is an unbelievable man of God, is the five CSs of how to hear the Lord, right? So here's how you hear the Lord. And you've heard me share this before, but I love sharing it. So through the conviction, through the compelling of the Spirit, right? The convicting of the Scripture, the community of the saints, circumstantial signs, counsel of the saints, circumstantial signs, and common sense.
Yeah.
Right? Command of Scripture, compelling of the Spirit.
You're helping somebody right now, bro. Trust.
Like this is how you hear God. And all of these things, if I can just insert this in here, all of these things play on each other, right? Mm-hmm. If the Spirit is compelling it, you're going to see it in the Scripture. If you're going to see it in the Scripture, then the Scripture is going to push you to get counsel from the saints, right? If the saints are saying, or if the Scripture is saying it, the saints are hearing it, right? Watch. And so if the Spirit has compelled it, if the Scripture has commanded it, if the saints have counseled it, you're going to have, it's going to feel like common sense and you're going to have circumstantial signs.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and it's going to feel like peace.
And it's going to feel like peace. So for us, there was the compelling of the Holy Spirit. We just felt the Holy Spirit compelling us. Like we have to, I don't know what we're going to do next, but I know we have to do this now, right? Number two, we had the command of Scripture. And here's what it was. The moment we saw clear doctrine and the moment we saw, like, man, respectfully with all the love, but where we were planted is theologically wrong. We had to go. Mm-hmm. The Scripture commanded us to go.
Yeah.
And then in our journey, we didn't have this immediately, but we found it along the way.
Yeah.
Was the counsel of the saints or the community with saints. And I I'm going to get emotional, bro, because having the right people within the first year saved our lives, man. This is where Perry came into my life. And another man of God named Richard C. Johnson, man, like they were just, and then Bishop Johnson and First Lady and Destiny Church, right? Like they just became a place that just embraced us, and they covered us and they cared for us and they helped us realize that we were called by God. Destiny was the place where the Lord called me into full-time ministry. And so that was the place where the curse that I left with became the place where the calling on my life was manifested. And so I cannot stress the power of having the right community around you. I can't, man. It saved our lives.
Yeah.
Like absolutely saved our lives. And it was people who were further along than us. People who could stand external and say, I've walked it. I've lived it. Like when I think about Bishop and First Lady Johnson, they left their family's church and it was very difficult. I won't give all the details. Mm-hmm. They share it openly at their church, but it was so difficult. And so when we arrived to them, they knew exactly what to do with us, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you have to ask the Lord. I would encourage you, if you have people who mean well, but you know better, or who are just being mean and you know better, find the people whose lives have shown the fruit that you're believing about for you and that the Lord is calling you to, and cling to them and say, I'm not going to let you go, man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because your life shows something that I'm believing for. And seeing you alive and seeing the results of your life and seeing what you're walking in, I'm not saying I feel entitled to your life, but it lets me know that the life I'm believing for, I'm not crazy about. Right? So it's affirming what the Lord has put in my heart, where people are trying to convince me otherwise by what's in their heads, right? And so I think about, right, like I can think, we taught it in March. I think about the story of Nehemiah, man. And he responds to these guys who are trying to intimidate him and who are trying to curse him and trying to break him down. And he says, oh, wait, hold on. Everything they're saying is not true.
Yeah.
It's in their heads.
It's in their heads.
And the scripture says that he sent messengers, go tell them that we will not stop the work.
Yeah.
I want, and I hope that you live your life as such that the people around you are so convicted about God's call in your life that they can speak to it. Mm. And that they can go say, oh, you're wrong. You're wrong about what you're saying about Cruz. You're wrong. Yeah. I remember, oh man, this is too much. Oh my gosh. But I'm going to share it. It's part of our story. I remember there was another transition when the Lord led us here. Mm. And that's a whole nother God story, how we landed at Abundant Church. I don't know that very many people in the culture know this, but you and I started on the same day.
On the same day.
At Abundant. We're about to hit 12 years. We're about to hit 12 years on
staff. That's crazy, bro.
we walked in together. Do you remember?
Yeah, we did.
That's
and
crazy.
We didn't know each other.
And we didn't know each other. We just like kind of head nodded.
What's up, bro?
What's up, bro?
You were very intimidating to me when I met you.
In the transition, it was very godly. It was very loving. And Bishop and his family were very, very, very caring and very, very generous. But in the fray, in the peanut gallery, there were people who had things in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were saying things about me and Diana, that we were doing things to hurt the church we came from. And so I remember Pastor Charles, watch this, bro. It was like maybe my second month. Now, I'm 12 years in, and so the relationship I have with the Big C today is very different.
Very different.
And he was very different 12 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And so he never walked the halls where the side that my office was on, much less come to my office, right? So he walks, I see him coming in like through the lobby, and I'm like, oh shoot, pastor's walking over here. I wonder who's coming to see. And then he's opens the door to my office. I'm like, he's coming to see me. Right. And so then all of a sudden I'm like 11 years old. I'm like, I'm in trouble with the pastor. Yeah. I'm like just all crazy. Right. So he sits down in one of the chairs in my office. He says, hey, we need to talk about something. And I say, yes, sir.
Dang, that's so scary, bro.
Bro, I tell you, I was so nervous like my hands are getting a little clammy just talking about it right now, bro. And I'm a grown man now, bro. You know, like, but he said, we need to talk about something. I said, yes, sir. He said, it's come to me. It's been reported to me that you and Diana are doing certain things that are unbecoming and out of character for a pastor on our staff or a pastor, period. He said, I'm going to ask you one time, are you doing this? And I said, Pastor Charles, absolutely not. There's no way. No, there's absolutely not. I know better. Boom, 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 right? I go down the line. I was just like, I was mortified. I was low-key embarrassed. And in my head, I'm thinking like, did I do something on accident? Did I accidentally put myself in a situation I shouldn't have? But I didn't. And I was just like, my heart, this is the power of clean hands and a pure heart.
Yeah, beautiful. Come on.
You know, because a person who walks with clean hands and a pure heart, can we agree our pastor walks with clean hands and a pure heart, right? Will recognize clean hands and a pure heart. And also recognizes the opposite. So pastor hears me and he says, okay. And this blessed me, bro. And I haven't thought about this in years, man. I'm gonna cry on this episode. Jesus. He said, okay. He goes, you're one of mine now. He goes, you're one of mine, and I believe you. And I'm going to go tell them to stop saying what they're saying about you. Then he looks back, he goes, but if you're doing this, and I go, Pastor, I go, sir, I'm not, I promise, I'm not. He goes, okay, I believe you. And he walked out, and bro, you have no idea how much just.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know?
And I got emotional right there.
Bro, but that's who Pastor is, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Pastor will go to the ends of the earth, bro. Right? And I just pray that we have people like that in our lives, man, who are able to come and say, hey, are you doing this?
Yeah.
No, it's in their heads. Got it. You're one of mine. We're okay.
Yeah. I was just thinking that it's easier to also to know better when you have clean hands and pure heart.
100%.
It's easier to kind of not be swayed into thinking into, this story just makes me think about one of the biggest ones in my life. It was when I was going to marry Lisa. And when I was thinking about marrying Lisa, I was 20 years old, y'all.
Wow, what were you doing?
Like,
that's
some,
amazing.
Again, to most people, being 20 years old and getting married, it just sounds like it's like too young. You know, I heard it all. And I remember that was one of the toughest decisions. My youth pastor at the time, I've never shared this before. My youth pastor at the time was, he didn't say no, but he didn't say yes. So it wasn't, I didn't know what to do with that. One of my closest friends at the time, this is the one that broke me completely against it and just said he was disappointed in me, blah, 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 right? All that to say is that I remember being confused, being not sure, knowing that this was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. I was not thinking about it like a child would, right? And then I did what you did, right? What you talked about. I went to the community of the saints. And Pastor Jared welcomed me in his office, had a conversation with me. And he was able to affirm and confirm the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Obviously honoring the word, right?
Wow.
And he is, I would say him and Pastor Shannon, I remember specifically where we were. It was just like in between services. And he was, he's like stepped out of the suite. And he's like, come over here. We're into some security room. He's like, are you and Lisa dating? And he was like so happy for us. And it just completely removed all of the other things that were in people's heads. And again, I believe that what was in people's, because we haven't talked about that. Sometimes what's in people's heads is fear.
Right.
Is you facing something they perhaps faced and they want to avoid pain for you, or they want to avoid something terrible happening to you. They mean well. That's what we mean by it. They mean well, but you still know better though.
Right.
You still know better.
Absolutely.
And then what's on the other side of people's heads that are mean is, I mean,
it's envy.
It's envy. It's arrogance.
Right.
It's jealousy. It's comparison. It's, what is it called?
Insecurity.
Bitterness. Yeah, it is.
All of it.
Terrible. Both. But again, in those moments, our hope with this conversation is that you are encouraged to go seek these things, to go seek God and to go hear God. And, that changed my life. I always tell him, like, I'm not sure what would have happened if you didn't bring me in and you told me, I hear God doing this. You're doing the right thing. You're doing it God's way. You guys are, we love and bless this thing. Like, let's do it. I'll marry you. And, and again, I just want to stress out, like, we were doing it God's way. Okay.
Nobody
was having a baby, nothing like that. What I'm saying is that was such a pivotal cruise. Let me remind you, when Lisa and I got married, three months after that is when I had my brain aneurysm. And a few years after is when my parents got deported. And there was so much hardship that happened to me at 20 years old that Lisa needed to be my wife in that moment. I didn't have anyone else. My parents had moved to Mexico. And it was the right time for me to get married with my wife because what was about to take place in my life. Wow. And I cannot imagine not having my wife with me in the hospital when they're telling me you're having internal bleeding, sir.
Jesus.
We don't know if you're going to, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if you're going to bleed again. Bro, and that woman stood with me.
That's what I was going to say.
And anyway, I don't know what you were going to say.
What I was going to say was about your wife, man. Having done life with you for the last almost 7 years, bro, Lisa is a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Immovable. She's strong, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Go ahead.
And to a regular person who means well, like being married at 20 years old doesn't make any sense. Right. But to somebody who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who understands the end from the beginning, he knew it was the right time for me to marry her. And I'm not saying God asked me to marry my wife so that she could like change my diaper at the hospital or something, you know? But what I'm saying, it was the right partnership to take place for that season. And my life will never be the same. It changed my life to marry her. Before I could even make any money legally in the United States.
She was right there with you.
She was paying my bills.
She bought you your first coat.
She bought me my first coat in the winter when it was Pastor Richelle's funeral.
Wow.
And anyway, so all that to say is I am so glad I knew better.
Yeah. And I think that right there is the big key, right? You have to know that you know better, right? As you were talking, I just thought, man, The fundamental thing here is, am I going to pursue wisdom? Am I going to pursue foolishness? Proverbs 15:14 says it this way, the mind of the intelligent and the discerning. What is discerning? It means I know something,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you know better, the scripture says you seek knowledge and you eagerly inquire after it, right? So if I know better, and if I know that there's a purpose, there's a vision, there's a mission, there's a call, then I'm going to go pursue the counsel of the saints. I'm going to eagerly inquire it. I'm going to go look for understanding, right? Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. And before you get anything and all you're getting, get an understanding.
Can we say there's no such thing as you know better alone?
Oh, 100%.
In isolation.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think some people might hear this and be like, oh, Pastor Cruz said I know better, so I know. I don't got to listen to you.
No.
I don't go talk to the pastor. I don't got to call Pastor Cruz and ask him. I don't got to DM. I don't got to go to the Bible.
You have to have someone who can blue check what you know.
Verify.
Right? I mean like 2014 blue check.
Blue check.
Before you could buy your own blue check. You know what I'm saying? Like now you can buy your own blue check. I'm talking, like someone who can verify you, that you're not paying.
Yeah.
Hello. Right? Like, and I think there's such a big, big thing to that, man. Like, you know, before you get anything else, before it, like, get an understanding and invite someone to, you know, that's intelligent and experienced. But watch, but the mouth of the stubborn fool. Think about people who like are locked into something that they should, that you know better. Come on. Right? But like, no, I just want to pursue it. I'm a stubborn fool. Watch, the scripture says that you feed on foolishness. You know what that sounds like to me? I'm just looking for people who I know will agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm looking for the easy agreements, not the confrontational inquiries that are like, hey, hold on, let me talk to you about this, right? I think that's a big, big deal, man. 100%.
Yeah, so our hope with this conversation is that it encourages people who are walking by faith, walking in God's plan, doing things that perhaps have never been done in their family line. You're trying to remove like addiction from your family line. You're trying to remove whatever patterns. You're trying to be a doctor. You're trying to go for that job. You're trying to whatever you feel the Lord calling you. You are going to be in moments where you will hear thoughts that are in other people's heads. They will come because they will tell you.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they'll tell you because they mean well, and sometimes because they're really mean. But you know better.
Right.
You got to know better.
Right.
And in order to do, I just love the handles you gave us. We're going to listen to the prompting of the Spirit. We're going to listen to the counsel of the word, right? Or the correction.
The command of the scripture.
The command of the scripture.
Yep.
The community of the saints.
And the counsel of the saints.
The counsel of the saints. common sense.
Common sense.
Sometimes it just makes sense.
Yep.
And what do you mean you're not supposed to go to school? It just makes sense.
What do you mean you're going to trade Bitcoin? I'm just kidding. Like, I'm teasing. I'm going to go into Forex. Sorry. I'm going to leave it alone. Leave it alone, Cruz.
And then signs. And can we say, like, I will say, like, when you're hearing God and when you're saying, like, Lord, I'm trying to look for confirmation, I would say don't just go with one. Like, I saw a sign and that's all I need.
Signs. Plural. And here's the thing. Because I'm 20 years ahead of most our young adults, I'll say this. When you get it wrong, learn from the circumstantial signs.
Mm.
Circumstantial signs, if you didn't know better, will help you know better.
Yeah.
Learn from the fruit, man. Don't waste that fruit. That's I just feel like I just want to reiterate the power of community. I didn't get a chance to get into this in Culture Night either, but when the Lord puts the call and the burden in Nehemiah's heart, and he goes to the king, a high-ranking person, the king affirms it, and then the scripture says he goes to the nobility of Jerusalem. And they said, because it's obvious that God is with you, and the king signed on it, we're with you.
Let's do this.
Right? What were they looking at? They were looking for circumstantial signs also. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all just, you know, Fibonacci sequence. It's just all just...
Yeah. There are signs around you, but it's always good to go to the Word. Yeah. It's always good to go to community. Yeah,
absolutely. You know better.
You know better.
Don't let what's in their heads...
Get in your head,
impact your heart, and distract you from what's in your hand.
Come on.
That's a good talk. Amen. I love it. Hey, you did a good job hosting, bro.
Hey, thank you, bro.
I love it.
It's my honor.
I love it. Hey, speaking of hosting, I sound like I'm like the best co-host, bro. That's a segue right there, baby. We would love to host you in El Paso, Texas,
in August
5th through the 7th. Right? It's August 5th through the 7th? Wednesday night, Thursday night, August 5th through the 7th. CultureCon 2026 is happening in El Paso. So whether you are in the city or outside of the city, would love to have you in El Paso. Go to thisculturecon.com and you can register. If you want to know what's going on between now and August at Prime Culture, go to prime.abundant.org. You can see what's happening for all things Prime Culture. Culture Night is happening on Friday, April 17th in Jesus' name.
Yep.
It's going to be a good one. I'm excited for it.
We can't wait to see you in the room.
Hey, what were you
going to say? Lock in your ticket, everybody. It's discounted right now.
You got $55?
You got $55. We were having a meeting and you said that, bro, you have $55.
You got 55, man. You got it. Listen, we love y'all. It's always an honor to be in your ear and on your screens. And we love that you are part of this Prime Culture. We're building something here.
Yeah.
Let's keep building. Love y'all. We'll catch you next time. Peace.